mom. She had a way of lavishing her love on you from the very beginning.
My mom says when I was born, I came gift-wrapped from heaven.
She may have driven you crazy as a teenager.
Why do your beginnings sound just like my mother?
And as you got older, you began to understand the wisdom she was trying to instill in you.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Moms have a way of sharing wisdom that will carry you long through your life. And it's worth more than any number of degrees you could ever obtain.
But a lot of the wisdom that I have, I don't have a whole lot of wisdom, but whatever I do have at this point in my life, it's because my mother gave it to me.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. Today, Charles Tapp begins a three-part series, A Word to the Wise, based on the book of Proverbs, written by the wisest man to ever live. And he starts this series off by sharing what Solomon had to say about this vital figure who spoke some of the most valuable wisdom into your life, with his message, A Mother's Law.
This morning, I want to begin a series that I've simply titled A Word to the Wise. And whenever that idiomatic expression is used, someone is simply trying to say that they have a message, that they have a word, that they have counsel or advice that they want to share with someone that they feel that is in need of it and that it will help to change or impact their lives in a very powerful way. Let me give you one such example. For instance, if someone says to you that if you're going to change a flat tire, a word to the wise would be, you may want to loosen the lug nuts before you raise it off the ground. Amen? Some of you may have been there. How about this one, especially those of you who live in the heart of the DMV? If you have to be to work by 8 o'clock, and you've got to travel the beltway, you better get on the road by 6 a.m., amen? The other day I was coming from out of town and I was making great time. Came all the way from Alabama until I hit the beltway, and what should have taken me 10 minutes took me an hour and a half. A word to the wise that when you hit the traffic in this area, you better have a book on CD in your car to listen to. But when you hear that expression, a word to the wise, what it simply means is that the word represents the counsel or the advice that the person is trying to give to help someone's life and improve their well-being. But the wise represents not the advice, but the wise represents the person who is smart enough to accept that advice and to implement it into their lives. And that's the problem with many of us today. We are hear advice, but we will not accept it and we will not bring it into our lives. So when you look at that expression, a word to the wise, what is at the heart of that idiomatic expression is this. It's this thing called wisdom. And wisdom is simply defined as recognizing how to use knowledge and how to use information appropriately as well as effectively. You can go on Google and you can get all the knowledge you want. You can get all the facts, all the figures, all the information you want, but you cannot Google wisdom. Wisdom is not something that you can get from the internet, but wisdom is understanding how to use the knowledge, how to use the facts, how to use the information, number one, appropriately, but then also effectively. But when you really pause to think about it, wisdom, true wisdom, is more than just using knowledge. It's more than just using information. Wisdom is more than dealing with the head. Wisdom is a heart issue. Better yet, let's put it this way. Wisdom is a spiritual matter. And that's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, listen, there is a wisdom that belongs to the men of this age, but then there is a wisdom that is from God. And he defines that wisdom from God, not in the form of facts, not in the form of information, but he says the wisdom that comes from God, listen to this, he says it is a mystery. In other words, the wisdom of God far exceeds anything that our minds can fully comprehend. And Paul goes on to say in verse 5, he said, listen, I'm going to show you that you men are not wise, because if you were wise, if you possessed the wisdom of God, you would have never crucified Christ. For the wisdom of this age said that he was just a good man, that he was just a carpenter. But the wisdom of God said that he was more than a carpenter. He was more than a man. He was the Son of God. Who says amen today? And although the Bible is full of wisdom, it's full of counsel, there is one book that is replete with the wisdom that you and I need to make part of our lives today that God has placed there. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, the very theme of that book is just that. It is wisdom. And our English word for wisdom comes from two Latin words. The word pro, that simply means instead of, and verba, which simply means not many words. So when you think of a proverb is a wise saying that does not come in the form of many words. The great theologian A.T. Pearson says that what the Psalms are to our devotional life, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, are to our everyday living, to our everyday lives. And that's where you and I deal with and carry out our Christian walk. It's with our everyday lives. And the book of Proverbs, above every other book, fits into that scheme of things of helping you and I to live victorious Christian lives each and every day of our lives. And when you begin to read the book of Proverbs, you'll begin to see very quickly that the book of Proverbs has this parental kind of feel to it. Because all throughout the book, especially the first 10 chapters, Solomon uses this phrase where he says, my son, my son, my son. And he's not talking about his biological son, but he's talking about it from the standpoint of a teacher that wants to impart a word to the wise or wisdom into the life of a young person. So the son doesn't have to be a male. The son can be anyone that is in desperate need of wisdom, that is in desperate need of a word to the wise. As a matter of fact, Proverbs was written for young people. If ever there was any book in the Bible that young people need to read, it is the book of Proverbs. If you want to learn about relationships, go to the book of Proverbs. If you want to learn how to take care of your business, go to the book of Proverbs. If you want to know how to curtail your tongue, hello, go to the book of Proverbs. It's all there. I challenge you, parents here today, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Get your child to read one chapter of Proverbs a week. When you read the book of Proverbs, Solomon, in the first few verses, describes three classes of people that need wisdom. The first is the fool. The second, he describes as being the simple. And the last one is the scorner. And when Solomon talks about the fool, he's describing a person that is prideful. He's describing a person that is careless. He's describing a person that talks without thinking. Everybody keep looking straight ahead now. For the man says within his heart that there is no God. The fool, Psalm says that there is no God. Then he describes the simple person. The simple person is the person who believes everything and everyone. The simple person has no sense of discernment. I'll make it even more practical for you today. A simple person in today's culture believes everything on the internet is true. That's the simple person. Then the last classification he gives is the person he calls the scorner. This is the person that mocks the wisdom of God because he does not understand it. But he refuses to admit that he doesn't understand it because the scorner by nature is the person who thinks he or she knows everything. That's the scorner. And the foundational passage for the entire book of Proverbs, dealing with these three classes of people, is found in Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to take a look at verses 5 to verse 7. Look at what it says. A wise man will hear and do what? Increase learning. What kind of man? A wise man will not only hear, but will increase in learning. And a man of understanding will attain what kind of counsel? Wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their what? Riddles. Now, here's the foundational verse in verse 7. Look at what it says. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. And he uses that word knowledge as a synonym for wisdom. So the beginning of knowledge or wisdom, the fear of the Lord. But fools do what? Despise wisdom. And they despise instruction. And the reason I say verse 7 is a foundational verse to this entire book of Proverbs is because I see this verse as being a prerequisite for everything else that is found in all 31 chapters. And you know what a prerequisite is. It's something that you need to take before you go to the advanced level. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is a prerequisite for receiving not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God. Solomon is simply saying that wisdom is not simply the accumulation of knowledge, but is the prerequisite in developing a willingness to acknowledge the supremacy of God in one's life. Look at this quotation by J.I. Packer, the great Christian theologian and author. He describes it this way. He says, not until we have become what? Humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's what? Holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging, I love this part, our own what? Littleness, distrusting our own what? Thoughts, that means distrusting even your own wisdom, and willing to have our minds, meaning our thinking, turn upside down, not until all that can happen, can wisdom become ours. In other words, a prerequisite for obtaining the wisdom of God, we've got to turn our thinking on its head. For there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And Proverbs says, and Psalms says as well in Psalms 111, that we've got to have this thing called the fear of the Lord. And the Bible, when talking about fearing God, is not talking about being afraid of God. It's talking about having this healthy respect for God. How many of you know that I studied to be an electrician? But I had this crazy, well, I shouldn't call him crazy, this crazy electrician, this electrical teacher, it was called Electricity 101. And he came to class one day with these two leads, these two bare wires. And he said, how can you tell if the wires are hot, meaning that there's electricity flowing through them? And I'm going, hook it up to a meter. He says, no. And he takes both leads and he places them on his tongue. And he goes, he said, that's how you can tell. I said, this man is crazy. I can't remember his name, but he's crazy. And every day he would tell us that. Don't be afraid of electricity, but simply develop a healthy fear. a healthy respect for something you do not fully understand. God is saying the fear of the Lord, having a healthy respect for me, someone you will never fully understand, is the beginning of you receiving wisdom from heaven. Not the wisdom that comes from man, but the wisdom that comes from God.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one in his series, A Word to the Wise, A Mother's Law. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you give through WGTS 91.9 today,
you'll remind someone with every song that God loves them.
You know, if I'm ever in a bad mood or I ever, you know, think that life's going down, I just turn the radio station on and I turn it up, and it just reminds me that God's there for me and that, like, there will be hard times, but there are better days ahead and He's always there.
Give through WGTS 91.9 and be the hope that anchors people in truth.
Give online at WGTS919.com.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and today, learning what's at the heart of true wisdom. Charles Tapp shares words from the wisest man to ever walk the earth, and what he had to say about moms. Let's return to the rest of his message, A Word to the Wise, A Mother's Law.
Let's go back to Proverbs 1. Let's go to verse 8. Look at what the Word of God says here. Again, you hear this parental tone that is used here. It says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. The what? The instruction of your father, and do not forsake what? The law of your mother. Please don't miss this. In other words, your father is there to teach you. Get that instruction. But when it comes to your mother, do not forsake, do not push away the law of your mother. Now, what is he talking about here? I didn't have to go to any commentary to see what he was talking about. I just had to remember how I was raised in my house by Mrs. Nanny Bell Tapp from Pembroke, Kentucky. And Nanny Bell Tapp would always tell us in my house, and this is her, these are her exact words, my word is law. You know what I'm talking about? It didn't have to be written down on paper or stone. She would say, Courtney, my word is law. In other words, she was saying, whatever proceeds out of my mouth is law. Whatever comes out of my mouth, my mama said, listen, you better look at it and see it as law. In many ways, our mothers become our first teachers, amen? Before we ever go to school, our mothers are the first ones that teach us lifelong lessons. I don't know about you, but a lot of the wisdom that I have, I don't have a whole lot of wisdom, but whatever I do have at this point in my life, it's because my mother gave it to me. Now, I know the men are going, what about the fathers? I'm not putting the fathers down today. I'm a father. I got a couple of things from my father. Let me tell you what I got from my father. First thing I got from my father was, number one, my father taught me how to take care of my business. In other words, he taught me the responsibility of what it meant to be a man in this society. The second thing he taught me was to love children. My father was the kind of guy, he was the Leave It to Beaver father of the neighborhood. Everybody loved my father. As a matter of fact, he used to make me mad sometimes. I got jealous. So all the kids wanted to come to my house, not to hang out with me, but to hang out with my father. If their bicycle broke, they didn't take it to their father. They brought it to my house, and we give it to my father. And whenever my father would take me to the ball game or whatever, he would always say, why don't you bring some of your friends with you? And I would go, hum, 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 hum. That's my father. Taught me how to be a man. Taught me to love children. But now when it came to my mom, when it came to her law that she poured into my life, it was my mom who taught me to love God. See, my mom stayed at home. She didn't work. Not because she wasn't equipped, but my father told her, he gave her a choice. Would you like to work or stay at home? She says, I'm going to stay at home and raise my children. You could do that then. Now it's almost impossible. But she taught me to love God. Secondly, my mom taught me to cherish this thing called prayer. I can still hear her words echoing in my head. She would go, Antoine, don't worry about it. Just give it to God in prayer. My mother taught me not how to get along with my enemies. My mother taught me how to love my enemies. Yeah, she taught me how to cook. I can cook. I can clean. From the time I was 10 years old, I was doing my own laundry, washing my own clothes, ironing my own clothes, making my own bed, doing my own room. By the time I was 13, I was cooking meals, I was baking pies, and I can still bake pies. Amen? Now, don't have me throw down one day. Now, don't mess with me. My mom taught me to love the church. Here's the thing, and I'm going to get through this without shedding a tear. My father taught me how to be a man. My mom taught me how to be a Christian. You see, fathers mainly give instructions, but mothers give their law. And the law is simply another word for their love. Because next to the love of God, the love of a mother is the greatest love any of us will ever have. That's why as children, even as adult children, we need to honor our mothers. We don't always have to obey them once we reach a certain age, but you have to honor them. But while you're still in the home, you need to understand their word is law. And it's not because they're trying to make you afraid of them. They're trying to hurt you. They're trying to restrict you. They're trying to love you. If I gave each of you a pen and a piece of paper today and asked you to write down 10 lessons you learned from your mom, that wouldn't be enough. And if I asked you to write down how many lessons you wish you had listened to, Proverbs says, yeah, you get instruction from your father, but don't forsake. That word forsake means don't push away the law of your mother, because the law of your mother is closed in love. And that's not just for mothers. I think that's just for women in general, because God has allowed the woman to participate in this recreative act that she and God have a bond that you and I as men will never have. Men can never duplicate or replicate what a woman can and the contribution that she can make to society, to the church, to the home, to the workplace. And that's why at this church, I'm glad we've got 3 female pastors on staff here. Too much testosterone in the building. You got to bring in some estrogen. Amen? And our staff meetings are as effective as they are because it is balanced by the 3 female pastors on our staff. I wouldn't want a staff with all men. Because God has given the woman something special. And whenever society, or even the church, tries to minimize the voice of the woman, we are doing our society, our children, and our church a disservice. It's no accident that the wisest man that ever lived said, he compared wisdom to a woman. Man, wisdom to a woman. So in Proverbs 1:8 speaks about a mother's law. In essence, it's simply talking about a mother's love. And as children, we need to embrace that love. And I know it's difficult because when you're a young person, you think you know everything. But if we would just listen to the counsel, yes, of our godly parents, but especially the counsel of our mothers, and understand that they're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to save you. I thank God for Nanny Bell Tapp and for the time she told me, no, you cannot go out after 9 o'clock. I thank God for Nanny Bell Tapp who told me, as long as you live in this house, you will never. She didn't go, well, here's multiple choice, A, B, or C. Which one would you like? As long as you're in this house. And it's because she said, and as long as you're in this house, then I'm in this house. Don't forsake the law of your mothers. Children, if you want Mother's Day to be every day, then listen to your moms. Listen to them when they tell you he's no good. Listen to them when they tell you you don't need to wear that. Listen to them when they tell you, I don't think it's wise for you to go there. Let me give you a word to the wise. If you want to keep who you are intact, don't go there, and especially with the one you're trying to go there with. But here's the thing. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 and 30, he says, the greatest demonstration that we can ever display to the world that we are wise is in accepting the wisdom that God gives in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, if you think you're wise, if you have not accepted Christ, you're only fooling yourself. We all know the story of Christ's birth and how the three wise men went looking for him. Why do you think they were called the three wise men? Not because they had some terminal degree. Because you can have 10 terminal degrees and be a fool. They're called the wise men because they listened to the council to go look for the Messiah, and they determined in their minds to find him. That's what makes us wise. Not about accumulating information and knowledge and facts and figures. What makes us truly wise is when we determine in our hearts to find Jesus. Amen? So word to the wise today. If you really want to be truly wise, accept true wisdom in the person of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and part one in this series, A Word to the Wise, A Mother's Law. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
We make excuses for our lust, for our anger, for our laziness. We even make excuses for my tongue. Well, you just have to know that's just the way I am.
That's a sample of what you'll hear next week as Charles Tapp continues with the second part in the series, A Word to the Wise, with his message, Lionhearted. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
When you donate $40 a month during the spring fundraiser, you give hope to more people through the music and conversation on WGTS 91.9.
I love it. I love that my kids love it too.
You also activate a separate gift.
Sending a water filter to a family in a developing country.
Giving them access to clean water.
Daddy.
Be the hope that encourages others here and around the world.
Call 800-700-1094 or donate online at WGTS919.com
or tap the app to give.